This is the Florida Roundup on WLRN. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks for listening this week. The City Beautiful, a rare pearl, as the city's own website refers to itself. We're talking about Coral Gables here, first up on the Florida Roundup. For the second time in as many years, the town finds itself in the front lines of a fight over common containers. This time, it's the ubiquitous plastic shopping bag. From mom-and-pop stores to Publix, these bags are handed out to shoppers, but if the Coral Gables Commission has its way, they will be banned in its city. So how about a ban bag, in the City Beautiful? Do you support it? Are you against it? Or is the city just stuffing too much regulation in for retailers? You can let us know. The phone lines are open right now, 800-743-WLRN, 800-743-9576. Do you support a plastic shopping bag ban in Coral Gables? Send us a tweet at WLRN. You can also text WLRN to 63735 and let us know what you think. Now, Coral Gables, if successful here, would be the first city to ban these bags. But others, including Palm Beach County, have supported similar bans, even though state law here in Florida does not allow communities from taking this action on their own. Tracy from Miami Beach sent us this text. Yes, ban plastic bags since they end up in the ocean or bay. We can use paper or recycle bags. Janie in Hollywood sent us this text. Municipalities should educate citizens to protect the environment. We're all living in this planet, so it's everyone's job to do so. I congratulate Coral Gables and consider this initiative should be expanded throughout the state of Florida. You can text WLRN to 63735 to add your voice or your real voice at 800-743-WLRN. Rosemary O'Hara, the editorial page editor of the South Florida Sun-Sentinel, is back with us. Rosemary, welcome back to the Roundup.
Happy to be here.
And Lance Dixon, reporter who covers Coral Gables for our partner, the Miami Herald. Lance, welcome back as well.
Thanks.
So let's talk about this proposed plastic ban. What exactly would it ban in Coral Gables if it stands?
So it would ban plastic bags for use by retailers and by vendors at special events. And so essentially that's anything from, as you sort of mentioned in the lead up there, something like Publix or, you know, any other of the number of, you know, merchants, mom and pop shops, places along, you know, shopping areas like Miracle Mile or, you know, pretty much the whole gamut.
What about a standard 13-gallon kitchen trash sack that is plastic?
So those are okay, and there are a number of exemptions that are sort of included in this item that the commission is looking at and will, you know, give initial approval to. And so, you know, that includes anything like if you have some plastic bags in your own home, mm-hmm. they're not, you know, coming in and snatching those or
okay.
anything. Pet waste bags, bags you get from like your local pharmacy, things of that nature.
And is this directed at retailers from handing them out, or if folks have them in their home, they can still use them, even the Publix shopping bags?
So if you have them in your own home already, that's fine. It's more so the retailers distributing them and giving them out, you know, at their stores or at special events or anything like that. And they just kind of want to increase the use of reusable bags or paper bags or different alternatives.
There's the issue, Rosemary, here of the bag itself, but it really is just a way into this conversation between community rule or state legislative rule here. This is not so much necessarily just about the bag, although it is. It's also about who gets to make these decisions for communities, isn't it?
That's right. You know, it's funny that Tallahassee always stands up strong for state rule because the states know better than the federal government what's best for Florida. But when it comes to local rule, they, you know, think Tallahassee knows best. You know, I think on this issue for me, we've known for a long time that we want consumers to start using reusable bags, get the cloth bags, bring them. You know, it's been an effort. And so the idea behind the ban is a good one. But other cities across the country have tried this, mm-hmm. and it hasn't worked. Chicago passed a ban and it was roundly, you know, despised. And Dallas has tried this too. And so I wonder, you know, a mid-step, rather than going for an all-out ban, you know, if what you're trying to do is change behavior, if a mid-step might be to do what some other cities like Dallas now are doing, which is a tax. So if you don't bring your bag, you basically are taxed per bag that you buy. And it changes behavior. It does bring some people to bring their own stuff.
And haven't we seen retailers try to affect this behavior themselves by charging 5 cents or a penny for bags if you don't bring your canvas bag or your own reusable paper bag?
Yes, they have. And people don't like it. I mean, you know, when we're trying to change, but it's like when you're trying to lose weight, you know, and you're trying, there are behavior modifications that you've got to do in order to do what's good for the body. And in this case, the public body. And people would push back against attacks on the bags. But at least to me, that's a middle ground before an all-out ban that won't be popular.
How about it, Coral Gables? How about at South Florida? Would you pay 10 cents extra per bag at the checkout if you're using a brand new plastic bag as opposed to not being able to use them at all if the Coral Gables Commission has its way? Join that conversation, 800-743-9576. Or online on Twitter at WLRN. Let's start with Linda in Coral Gables, who is joining us from the City Beautiful. Linda, welcome to the Florida Roundup. Go ahead.
Thank you so much. I just wanted to call because I do agree with the person that was on your panel right now that it is difficult to change habits and that it's not going to be something very popular at first, but I just think it's a matter of time. And what is the alternative? I think, you know, unless that we do something, the problem is going to keep getting worse because what I see now is a lot of people have the good intentions, so they buy the reusable bags, and then after a while, they end up throwing those bags away, or they forget them at home, and or they forget them in their car and don't want to go back to the parking lot to get them, and so you end up with double the waste. The reusable bags, the plastic bags, the paper bags, like it's a never-ending cycle.
Yeah.
So I am for it. I don't know if necessarily you pay for the bag or maybe you get a discount like Whole Foods does if you bring your own bag. But I do think that, you know, a middle-of-the-way option to get people more enthusiastic about this program would be a great idea.
Linda, we got it from Coral Gables. Let's go up the road to Deerfield Beach, where John is joining the Florida Roundup. John, you're on the radio. Welcome.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing. Your thoughts on this potential ban of plastic bags?
Sure. So I work in the plastic industry and can tell you that it takes about 300 uses of a reusable plastic bag to equal the amount of energy that it takes to make one plastic bag. And if you look at the supply chain for making cotton reusable plastic bags, it's even longer because you have to grow the cotton, weave the cotton. Mm. So you're saying,
just so I'm clear here, John, you're saying to reuse a standard plastic bag, you'd have to reuse it 300 times in order to make up for the energy that that bag consumes in its manufacturing. But a canvas bag, you'd have to use it more than 300 times.
At least.
Gotcha. And how about you? Which do you use, John?
I use the plastic bags.
John?
They're so convenient, and I use them for multiple things. You don't throw them away, right?
You reuse them.
For trash bags. You use them for, you know, picking up after the dog or the cat or whatever else it is.
Gotcha, John. Thanks. And Lance, as you mentioned, some of those uses that John describes could still be used if Coral Gables is successful here.
Right.
But this is just the latest effort on the part of the Coral Gables Commission to try to regulate containers. It tried to do it with styrofoam and has been stopped so far in court.
Yeah, and I did just want to add something too. Part of the item that they've considered the ban, there is a provision that kind of talks about the retailers providing those reusable bags for about the cost of a dime or so. So, you know, that is sort of included in it. But, you know, as you said, even that, you know, moderating behavior and doing that kind of thing, you know, it could still be a tough task.
What is your sense, and we'll get back to the styrofoam in a minute, what's
sure.
your sense of the purpose of this, beyond just the plastic bag ban? What drove this at the commission level to take this action?
So I think it's tied into the styrofoam issue, but I think that, and a lot of the people who came out in support of this at the commission this past week, were environmentalists and, you know, activists who work in these fields, and, you know, they do cleanups in the water and on the bay and along coastal areas. And they say that, you know, when they're out there cleaning up beyond just general trash, you know, wrappers and different things like that, they see so many of these plastic bags, and, you know, in their view and from what they've studied, they say that wildlife and different, you know, sea and, mm-hmm. and, you know, sea animals and different things of that nature, they confuse these bags with whether it's seaweed or anything else, or just think it's food, you know, they inject ingest that, and then that could have long-term effects as well. So that's part of their argument, is that, you know, they feel like if there can be a gradual reduction of these bags in the environment and in kind of in the ecosystem, then it can, you know, have some improvements in the,
you know, Rosemary, the Coral Gables Commission not only has the debate itself, but frankly, there's a state law already in place that does not allow a municipal commission like Coral Gables to even take this action in the first place.
Right, but there was a ruling, right, that said, that kind of put it on, gave them a window. Lance, you know more about the ruling than
sure. This is on the styrofoam side of
right.
things.
Right. Yeah. So when Coral Gables had their styrofoam ban upheld on the Miami-Dade Circuit Court level, the judge in that case ruled both in favor of the city's styrofoam ban, but also said that a portion of state law was unconstitutionally vague as it related to plastic bags. And essentially what he said in that ruling was that there was a report that was commissioned by the state that was finalized in 2010, and it was supposed to sort of, you know, the findings were supposed to be acted upon in some way, mm-hmm. and then that would kind of help all of the municipalities and the state kind of dictate how these things would be regulated. But that report was finished in 2010, and then no action was really taken.
Yeah.
So all of these municipalities and governmental agencies were kind of waiting around trying to see what they could do in regards to regulating that or not. And so after the ruling in the styrofoam case, Coral Gables decided, well, we'll go ahead and give this a try.
Let's go up to Port St. Lucie, where Joaquin is joining the Florida Roundup. Joaquin, welcome to the program. You're on the radio.
Thank you very much. It basically along the same lines. I mean, my thing is that this has been a long time coming. I mean, when I go into a shopping center and I go ahead and they go ahead and start bagging it in plastic, if it's two or three items, I don't even I have the receipt. I've made my purchase. I don't want to go ahead and add, you know, more fuel to the dump sites, because I drive up and down the turnpike and I see these mountains of garbage, and it just continually reminds me of how wasteful we are. I think they have in my opinion, they have the right and the responsibility, every government agency, whether it's city, state, or county, or the U.S. government, to go ahead and try to regulate how much waste we are committing to. And if we need to take these steps to go ahead and regulate ourselves, because I mean, I have people pop up like meerkats when I go to to buy my groceries when I say I want paper. And they pop up like meerkat. You want paper? Yeah, I do, because but then the plastic bags that I have accumulated, I go ahead and thankfully there are facilities to go ahead and receptacles to go ahead and recycle them, because I don't want them back out in the environment. I don't want them in the garbage. I don't want them in the landfill.
Joaquin,
it's a conscious decision.
It's great to hear you from Port St. Lucie. Thanks for joining the Florida Roundup. Joaquin, what you're mentioning there is Publix and a lot of these large retailers that use plastic bags, Rosemary, have right in the entryway traditionally a bin to bring your old plastic bags back and recycle them. In fact, the Retail Federation, which opposes this ban, says these bags are 100% recyclable in the first place, so there's no reason to ban them.
Right. And, you know, they're convenient. I mean, Publix has, and so many retailers have tried to get their customers to use recyclable bags, the cloth bags. You know, and the main reason that they are opposing this ban is not because of cost, but because of customer convenience. Mm-hmm. It's what people want.
Yeah.
And there is a split, you know, that people do not want the litter. They do know that plastic doesn't break down. They know that the waterways have bits of plastic in it. But how do we, and, you know, wouldn't it be great to see Tallahassee not just say, no, you can't, but help come up with a solution for here's what we can do to lessen our footprint?
We got a tweet from the former mayor of the Village of Pinecrest, Mayor Lerner, saying that add the Village of Pinecrest to the city's supporting the ban against plastic bags. She tweeted us saying that the village passed a resolution 4 years ago in Tallahassee as well. So a number of these local municipalities have taken steps, not as far as Coral Gables to actually do the ban, but to pass a resolution in support of a ban. Palm Beach County has been one of them. I think Hollywood has taken the same step as well. The conversation here, plastic bags and banning them in South Florida, 800-743-9576. You can also text WLRN to 63735. Nicholas is joining us in Miami. Nicholas, you're on the radio. Welcome.
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
Sure, your thoughts on this.
Yeah, so I think the ban probably is not the best idea because I've been to California, and I've seen how the tax has worked on the bags. And as a Miami resident, there's a lot of tourists that I feel like wouldn't mind paying the tax. So, yeah, I think the ban probably isn't the best idea for anything.
So, you, Nicholas, you're prepared to pay a little more at checkout to use the plastic bags then?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, including that, just recently, FIU students had to clean up the beach, and just seeing how much trash is on the beach is mind-blowing.
Yeah, for anybody questioning that, do a Bayside cleanup day, and you'll see nothing but, well, a lot of different things, but including plenty of styrofoam and plenty of plastic bags as well. We go back to the City Beautiful in Coral Gables. John joining the conversation. John, go ahead. You're on the radio.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to pitch in also just from a global point of view. My fiance is from Spain, and for the last anywhere between 5 to 10 years in Spain, they have a similar system of which you guys are talking. You know, they charge at grocery stores, they charge 3 cents to 5 cents or 10 cents or per bag, per plastic bag that is used. And there doesn't seem to be a problem over there. Everybody seems to be fine with it. Everyone brings their own case or whatever you want to call it to pack their groceries. And I just think I think the mindset here is maybe starting to change. Everybody's a little bit more environmentally aware. And if you just continue to raise that awareness, I think the millennials, which is my generation, and the generations younger, will be okay with it. I don't see it being such a big deal. I have bags myself. I forget it all the time. But, you know, if this is something that you see in grocery stores start to take place, I think there will be a more of a mindset where people will remember to bring their own stuff.
John, we got it. Congratulations on the coming nuptials there with your fiance. John,
you.
Appreciate your thoughts here. Rosemary, one of the points, though, that those in opposition to this will say a patchwork of regulations. You ban the bag in Coral Gables, but I can use it in the city of Miami. And if you're Publix and you've got one store that's right on the border, right across the street, what is a company like that to do? You've got this group of regulations that are just going to change based upon the zip code, maybe, if not based upon what block the store is on.
Right. And that's why the Retail Federation or similar kind of groups go to Tallahassee to get a state law that preempts locals from doing things. And you can understand why that is. You know, if you're a business that does business across state, county lines or city lines, it's the conversation about Uber. Should Uber drivers in Dade have different insurance requirements than those in Broward or Palm Beach? So it does make sense to have statewide standards for what's allowed. But if the state doesn't move, you know, which is what too often happens, and they're not a leader on the environment.
No.
So then it comes up, it bubbles up from the locals. And so what Coral Gables is doing with this is raising awareness. It's calling the question. It's getting people mobilized. And, you know, even if it's not the right thing to do, if it's too much too fast, hooray for bringing, you know, for making us all talk about it and think about it.
We've got the Christmas tree is lit up here with phone calls and text messages here. But Lance, I want to get to this point of a patchwork of regulations. Clearly, the Coral Gables Commission is only concerned about Coral Gables, but they know that has been the opposition against the styrofoam ban. That's been the opposition here. How do they answer that kind of criticism?
I mean, so they and particularly the commissioner who's kind of pushed the styrofoam ban and this plastic bag ban, Commissioner Vince Lago, he's often said, you know, I think that there can be a sort of middle ground here, and the city in presenting both legislative items, they've reached out to their local chamber of commerce and their business improvement district, and they've got a big project happening downtown that's affecting a lot of merchants already. So I think that
the construction of
Miracle Mile.
Yeah.
And so I think in their mind they're saying, hey, look, we understand that this could be a jarring change. This could be something that could even affect your bottom line. So they're trying to do some outreach and some education, and in a lot of these cases they're waiting and holding off enforcement for several months. So I think in their mind, they're trying to do this at a certain pace, but you know, with that same token, they're not, you know, they're not showing any signs of slowing down.
Purposefully forcing the hand of state legislators, perhaps?
Sure. And yeah. And even in with some of these discussions, they've discussed some efforts on the state level to kind of talk about home rule and different things like that. And that's a whole separate topic.
There it is. So. 20 minutes before we got to the home rule mention. Lance, the piece of pie goes to you. Home rule, of course, is the idea that local municipality, the smaller the government entity, essentially, the closer it is to the voters and the people, and some of those decisions should be left to home rule.
Sure. And so that's been a part of their discussions as well. They're, you know, as Rosemary kind of alluded to, you know, if the state is moving on these things, then it's not really a topic of conversation. Right. But if there's stagnation, then ultimately, you know, these municipalities are saying, hey, I'm getting these phone calls, I'm getting these emails. Yeah. We've got to do something.
Let's go to Jason, who is with the Surfrider Foundation. Jason, it's a group that supports these bans on plastic bags, right, Jay?
Yes, absolutely. The Surfrider Foundation has been working for over six years with local officials to basically change the current preemption. And I think we're absolutely thrilled to death with Coral Gables' direction right now to basically, take their own direction to do a bag ban. And, you know, we have that in place. We also have both House Representative David Richardson, mm-hmm. and we have Jose Javier Rodriguez sponsoring two bills that right now, according to our representatives in Tallahassee, we have equal both Democrat and Republican co-sponsor support for these bills. So we'll see over the next few weeks, you know, how they play out, and we're really hoping for the best.
So the bills statewide,
we have direction.
And Jason, the bills that you refer to are bills, Representative Richardson, a Democrat, Senator Rodriguez, a Democrat, both from Miami-Dade County. These are bills that would provide a pilot program would allow solely coastal communities of 100,000 residents or fewer to ban plastic bags. But Lance, I think that kind of essentially includes almost all coastal communities, at least on the barrier islands, right?
Yeah, sure. I mean, and as it relates to the styrofoam ban, and this kind of came up in the case between the Gables and the Retail Federation, a lot of the municipalities that were allowed to keep their styrofoam bans before the sort of cutoff last January were referred to as these sort of quote unquote beach towns. So, you know, you got like Miami Beach, obviously, and some different ones along the barrier islands. So, you know, in that regard with the plastic bag ban, if that pilot program comes to fruition, I think that there'd be more engagement there than maybe compared to other places.
Would Coral Gables be considered a coastal community under this legislation? There's a very thin slice of the city that butts up against Biscayne Bay. So perhaps.
Right.
Yeah. But Rosemary, this would essentially be able to allow all of those towns and villages up and down the intercoastal to move forward with the ban if so desired.
I'm not sure about Fort Lauderdale.
Probably not Lauderdale, nor the city of Miami. That wouldn't be able to do it either. But it would not allow the counties to do it.
Correct.
Yeah.
You know, one of my other thoughts in this conversation is about the styrofoam. I remember, I'll admit, that I'd get a burger, a fish filet at McDonald's, and it came in this little styrofoam thing. And then, you know, we got our awareness raised and business corporate responsibility, and now it's down to paper wrappers. Mm-hmm. And in some restaurants, when you get takeout now, the styrofoam's gone, but it's plastic. Mm-hmm. You know, now they've got the plastic thing. And so I'm wondering how, you know, did the styrofoam, you know, and I also have styrofoam as packing materials, the peanuts are going away, and now it's more those blow-up things, so it's, you know. But I guess that there's always unintended consequences from overreaching, and I guess I do wonder, were there any consequences in a styrofoam ban that led to more plastic, and are there potential things we're not thinking about by going to a ban on bags too quickly?
The point of moving away and trying to make consumer choices differently could have potential consequences down the line. As one of the callers said, the energy that it takes for a cotton bag to be manufactured requires so many more uses than it would to make up for the energy for a plastic bag. And at the end of the day, are we just supplanting one kind of energy drain and threat with potentially another one? Let's go to Beth, who is joining us from Miami. Beth, welcome to the Florida Roundup. Thanks for your call today.
Hi, I was out in Santa Fe many times, actually, and they have bans on plastic bags. And it became comical how many times I reflexively reached for a bag. I have, you know, a dog I clean up after, a service dog, and firm policy of no turd left behind, but I was begging people for bagel bags and everything. It was really impossible to find the bag. And if you go to the Trader Joe's, it's like, you only want one paper bag, don't you? So people were very aware of it, but if you decided to put your plastic bags away for a month and not use them, I'd invite you to see how you feel about this. Because, I mean, I use them automatically. I recycle them myself with my dog. But I think that people aren't realizing, you know, you go into the stores, the cloth bags smell like old chicken. People don't wash them. And they ask a cashier, you know, they're like, you know, putting their groceries in with a single finger. It's like, ugh. So, I think that people need to kind of be aware of a lot of different parts of this. But a lot of us really do recycle the bags. Yeah. I mean, if I have to go out and buy poop bags, that would be expensive, and I'd probably never be able to find them in just be a fiasco.
Beth, we got it. And, hey, listen, welcome to Miami. We're glad we've got you from Santa Fe. Absolutely.
But an
interesting challenge to the community. Try to go without your plastic bags for a month, and then perhaps we will have a much more robust debate even now. A couple of texts coming in that we want to mention to you. These are folks that sent a text to 63735. They text WLRN to that number. Judy from Miami, yes, I support the ban for the safety of our environment and the future of our children, really looking out ahead. Lee from South Miami says, I collect bags that have blown away from beach patrons and recycle them at Publix, taking them to that spot in there. Lee says that they do about 500 each month. Eric in Weston in Broward County, yes, I support the ban. The problem of plastics in the ocean is already a huge environmental issue. We are late as compared to other countries which have implemented this rule many years ago. Let's take a couple of other quick phone calls here. Kim is with us in Miami. Kim, go ahead. You're on the radio.
Yeah, how you doing today? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing. Your thoughts?
Just a quick question. I don't know if everybody remembers back when we used to be able to return glass bottles for a monetary reward back at the 7-Elevens and the food spots. That tax that they have on the plastic bags, why can't we use that as some kind of reward program for returning the same plastic bags back to those containers that were spoken about earlier at Publix?
Interesting idea. For those who don't remember, a 10-cent or a 5-cent recycle fee is what you got for a glass bottle or an aluminum can, for instance. I can only imagine, though, Kim, the job that it is to count the plastic bags in order to get that refund. Not a very thankful job at that, but an interesting idea nonetheless, one with an economic answer perhaps to it. Final call here is going to be Leslie in Boca Raton. Leslie, welcome to the program. You're on the radio.
Hi, my name is Leslie, and I go back and forth between Boca Raton and Montgomery County, Maryland, which is a very large county that is adjacent to Washington and kind of analogous in size to Broward. The bag ban has been in effect there for a very long time. It's adhered to. People come into the grocery, Giant and so forth, with their bags. All the problems that you've cited are all things that you see there. But it has been accepted. It's widely accepted. And the only thing that I think is notable that I want to mention is that when you go into Macy's or something and you buy a sweater or blouses, you walk out of the store and the sweaters or the articles of clothing are stacked in your arms, and you put the receipt on top, and that is how you exit the store. So
no bag?
They do not give you a bag. And I always find that kind of awkward because I don't want anybody to think I've taken anything. but there are people who just do this, and it is standard operating procedure. So that happens to be a very large jurisdiction that has been successful, and it is not a statewide ban. In Maryland, there are 23 counties, and that's the only one that has it to my knowledge.
Gotcha. Leslie, thanks for sharing that with us. Lance, bring us up to date on the timeline for the Coral Gables Commission and this proposed ban.
So it was approved on first reading, and it, with all these ordinances or laws, it required two votes and two public hearings. So the next one is set for their March 28th meeting. That could, of course, be delayed because they said they want to do some additional outreach to the businesses and to the public. So,
Lance Dixon, covering Coral Gables for our partner, the Miami Herald. Rosemary O'Hara is the editorial page editor at the South Florida Sun-Sentinel. Rosemary, stick around. We got a lot more to come on the roundup. A dream to Dade County could be a traffic horror to Broward County. We'll talk about the cross-county battle over a mega shopping mall plan. That's next.